I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams. We've got a lot coming your way, including a practice report with Eric Kane. He'll join us here before too much longer, and more in regards to the football conversation. But right now, it's your chance to win. It's the Sports Fix at 6. Jimmy, what's up for grabs this evening?
John, we've got a $25 gift card to Apple Valley Mountain Village stores in Townsend. This could be redeemed at any of their 5 locations. There's the Apple Valley Cafe, the Smoky Mountain Outdoor Center, the Dancing Bean Coffee House, the General Store, and the Dancing Bear Lodge, which is where I've been before. Really did enjoy it. You'll enjoy it too. $25 gift card to Apple Valley Mountain Village stores in Townsend if you can answer this trivia question. So this is sort of a tribute to Jay Graham. When we interviewed Jay earlier, we talked about he had a 75-yard run against Alabama one year. He had a 79-yard run against Alabama. So I thought, let's take a look at the longest runs in Tennessee football history. There has been one running back who has had two runs of more than 80 yards in Tennessee football history. Name that running back. One running back has had two runs of more than 80 yards in Vols history. Name that running back.
865-656-9900. That's 865-656-9900 as we look for a winner tonight in the Sports Fix at 6. And let's start with Gary. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Gary.
Hey, John. How are you and Jimmy doing?
Doing fine. Good, and yourself?
I'm doing great. Whether I win the prize or not, Jimmy, I'm going to say that the Dancing Bear Lodge is next level.
Yes. It is.
It's good. It's very good. I've been there. I've been there before as well. So it's very good. So
yeah.
Good question, Jimmy. Lots of good running backs out there in the history of Tennessee. I'm going to go back to the early to mid '80s, and I think Johnny Jones did it at least once. That's who I'm going to go with.
It is not Johnny Jones. Now, what I'm looking at is 80-yard runs are better, and he's not on that list. He did have some long runs. I think he had that crucial 66-yarder against Alabama one year that helped beat Alabama. But it is not Johnny Jones. He was the first running back ever at Tennessee to have a 1,000-yard year, but he does not show up on this list.
Okay. All right, guys. Have a good evening.
Thank you, Gary.
Sure do appreciate it, Gary. Thank you very much. Let's go next to Andy. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Andy.
Hey, guys. How about Travis Stevens?
It's not Travis Stevens. That's a really good guess. Travis Stevens had one run of 80 yards.
He probably had three or four of like 79 and a half.
And those stat guys just didn't give him credit. This guy played a little bit more recently than Travis Stevens.
Okay.
A little bit more recent. Again?
No. But we hope you have a wonderful night. So let's see. Let's go next to Alan. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Alan.
I'm going to guess Charlie Garner.
It's not Charlie Garner. And I remember him making a lot of long runs, but he doesn't show up on the 80-yard run category. He didn't have one. But that's a good guess. He was an explosive runner.
Alan, we sure do appreciate it. We jump to Matt. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Matt.
Hello. I'm going to guess Eric Gray.
It is not Eric Gray, and he had a 95-yarder against Vanderbilt, but that was the only 80-yard run he had in his Tennessee career.
Matt, we sure do appreciate it. Let's jump next to Tim. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Tim.
Hello, is it Kelsey Finch?
It is not Kelsey Finch. I can see why you would guess that. He had a 99-yard run against Florida back in 1977. He did not have another run of at least 80 yards. And this person did it much more recently than Kelsey Finch, but I can see where you would go with that guess.
We sure do appreciate it. Have a great night. Let's try Kelly. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Kelly.
Hey, guys. I think he had at least one. Not sure if he had two, but my guess is going to be LaMarcus.
We just lost him.
Oh, goodness. Well, Kelly, call back.
Yes.
We need you. Because, what I heard was the answer.
Yes, so, that's right. Kelly got disconnected, so we certainly apologize for that. But give us a shout back, and I do think we might have him. Hopefully, this is him. But anyhow.
Yeah, and
all right. Yeah. So you back with us, Kelly?
I am. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, apologize for that.
LaMarcus Coker.
Yeah, LaMarcus Coker, that is a correct answer. He had an 89-yard run against Marshall in 2006, an 87-yard run against Vanderbilt in 2006. So LaMarcus Coker, the only Tennessee running back to have two runs of at least 80 yards in his career. Congratulations to you, Kelly. You've won a $25 gift card to Apple Valley Mountain Village Stores, five locations in Townsend. Congratulations. We're going to put you on hold and get that prize to you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for hanging with us and for calling back. Congratulations, Kelly. We appreciate everyone that tried with tonight's Sports Fix at 6. Time now for a Tennessee football practice report. It's brought to you by Pools by Heritage as we check in with Eric Kane. Eric, how are you?
Hey, John, doing well. Tennessee football, practice number 14. That was on the Haslam practice field earlier this morning, the second-to-last practice that we get to go and check out as media. The last one will be on Friday morning before the only thing that's open to us is some media availabilities during the season. But nonetheless, getting back out there for period 0 through 2 and taking some role and seeing some guys who are active and who weren't, or in terms of limitations, I guess, for practice. Running back Lynn J. Dixon was not in shoulder pads, so he was limited some today. Jimmy Callaway as well. Latrell Bumpus and Jacob Warren, along with Wesley Walker, didn't practice, or at least they weren't out there when the media was present. Red jerseys today, Cheyenne LaBruzza, Sullen Page, Christian Harrison, D. Williams, Deshaun Rucker, Jimmy Holiday. So all those guys were limited from full contact. But good news, Skrull White was back out there today. He had been held back at some points and times this week overall. So that's kind of the injury report so far throughout practice, at least for this morning. Met with Mike Eckler, special teams coordinator and outside linebackers coach, and said a lot of good things about his special team units, a lot about the young guys who are hungry to get in there and contribute. And the question was asked, kind of how does he and Josh Heupel go about playing guys on special teams? Do you play starters or do you rest starters on special teams? How do you use that? He says it's more about development. This is Mike Eckler from earlier today on what goes into their special teams units.
What we try and do is we try and develop our guys too. I mean, you look at Christian Charles last year. You look at Nico Slaughter. There's a bunch of guys that played Rutger that are now, you know, T-Mac. I mean, those guys are start, a lot of them. But they played 30 snaps a game last year, and they didn't even blink when they got in on defense. And then the offseason, they're ready to rock and roll, and they're game tested. So really, you got young guys like, you know, Jordan Thomas, you got Elijah, you got Caleb, you got a bunch of young guys that are hungry and ready to go, and then you got a bunch of veteran guys. So it's kind of a mixture, and it's a mixture of developing guys, mixture of getting key guys out there, keeping tread on the tires of the starters, and giving guys roles on this football team. And that's ultimately, we want as many guys to play as possible that can go out there and play at a championship level.
So as camp rolls on and we get closer and closer to kickoff, those special team units as well are going to start to be finalized as we are just 15 days away until opening night, Tennessee against Ball State. Good stuff there from Mike Eckler. All of his video and audio, it's up on the website at 99.1thesportsanimal.com, as well as practice highlights and so much more from fall camp.
Eric, a year ago, Valus Jones was outstanding as a punt kick returner. Who did Mike Eckler talk about as players competing for those return positions?
Yeah, he said in terms of punt returns, Trayvon Flowers and Desmond Williams, or D. Williams, have been two guys that have kind of been repping and getting some work in at punt return. Trayvon Flowers, the guy that has been in the mix, you know, throughout his career at Tennessee. He's been back there a couple of times. He's not been the focal punt returner ever for Tennessee, but he's a guy that's been getting reps an awful lot. D. Williams, one of the more dynamic returners in junior college the last couple of years, and so you knew that he was going to get a shot. Those were the two names mentioned as far as punt returners. Kick returners, D. Williams again, freshman Dylan Sampson, wide receiver Jimmy Holiday, among some of the names mentioned. He said that there's been a lot of guys who have been back there getting some reps in terms of kick returner, but he said that it's going to be tough to replace Valus Jones, and they're going to try to do what they can to replace Valus by committee. So I think you're going to see some different guys back there in terms of returners until maybe someone makes a play and until someone sticks. I would agree with him, though. I mean, that's something that I think you know, as football, you know, fans and media covering football, we often take for granted what special teams is. It truly is a third of the game, and what Velus Jones gave Tennessee last year was incredible. And so you're not going to replace that in the short term. So just trying to find some guys to be adequate in those roles and then ultimately see them blossom, hopefully. But those are some names: Flowers and D. Williams at punt return, D. Williams, Dylan Sampson, and Jimmy Holiday as kick returners right now.
Is Squirrel White in that equation at all?
I would imagine, Jimmy, I mean, you were there. I don't remember him saying Squirrel White, but okay. I would imagine that he'd at least be in the punt return conversation. I'm not sure. I'm not a football coach. I'm not sure if he would be a good fit in terms of kick returner, but need somebody quick, shifty side to side, able to make somebody miss for punt return, fielding a punt on the bounce. I think Squirrel White would fit very well in that category, but I'd be shocked if he wasn't back there getting some reps in both of those.
Eckler, not only the coordinator of special teams, but also the outside linebackers coach. What did he have to say about his two young edge rushers?
Yeah, I mean, he really likes them, and he is a very positive guy, and that's why a lot of people like to be around Mike Eckler. A lot of people love Mike Eckler on social media. It's hard not to like a guy like Mike Eckler in terms of the positive energy. Really likes Joshua Josephs, really likes James Pierce, too. True freshman who I believe will have a small role for Tennessee, and I think it might grow as the year goes on. And then ultimately, those two guys are going to be the guys moving forward. You know, once Byron Young leaves the program and, you know, Roman Harrison leaves the program, he's got a couple more years. But a lot of growth and a lot of growing up for both those guys and James Pierce and Joshua Josephs. Here's Mike Eckler, more on them, about how they're just continuing to get better every single day.
I mean, we got two young guys. I mean, I'm sure you're talking about Josh and James. And Josh is he's really coming along, and so is James. But James is a little bit more raw, and Josh is a little more seasoned in a certain sense. But both those guys have just an incredible amount of talent and unbelievable work ethic. Great kids, just figuring it out. They're true freshmen. They just got here, and so the sky's the limit for them. They stay the course. They keep busting their tail, and you're talking about two guys that are, you know, 6'5", coming off the edge, and they can flat out go. And they got great instincts, and they love to play the game. So beyond excited. And then add in Roman and BY, and you got a great crew.
Yeah, that was Mike Eckler on the Leo position. And, of course, a large part of that audio clip was about the freshmen, Joshua Josephs and James Pierce. He's not lying either. So many of the signing classes nowadays get in here for the spring semester and get to – the work in spring practice and get adjusted to school and all that. Joshua Josephs and James Pierce did not. They got here in June, and so very much picking it up on the fly. But again, I think as time goes on, you'll see those number 19 and 27 on the field to get after the quarterback and maybe a couple of them along with, you know, Byron Young at the same time in pass rushing situations.
We don't get to see a whole lot of periods in practice. In fact, we see two. But what have you seen from the quarterbacks?
Yeah, you're right. We don't get to see an awful lot. So, again, you know, stressing that what we see is very limited, and there's still another hour and a half of practice after we leave. And so, but, I mean, I've been impressed. Something that we've talked about so far, Jimmy, is we're not seeing as many balls on the ground, especially when you compare it to last fall camp and maybe last spring practice when we were out there. I think for the most part, there's been more good days than bad days for the receivers and the quarterbacks and routes on air. There have been a couple of bad days sprinkled in there, and that's part of fall camp and part of growing. But I've been really impressed with Hendon Hooker and Joe Milton. I mean, those guys, at least today, I'm sure there were some balls on the ground, at least one that comes to mind. But, I mean, there are not many balls on the ground. Mm-hmm. You know, today they were doing the rollout drills, simulations to where they'd have four quarterbacks repping at one time, rolling out to the right or rolling out to the left, and the receivers are all, you know, going whichever direction in the field in front of them. And, you know, Hendon Hooker, really good with the intermediates, completed a long pass. Joe Milton, just a beautiful throw, about 40, 45 yards on the rollout into the end zone. Those two guys are clearly ahead of Taven Jackson, who hasn't been bad, you know, when I've been out there and seeing him. But I think there's some growth there, and there will be growth there. He's only a freshman. But with Taven Jackson, some of the other walk-on quarterbacks there, they're clearly Hendon Hooker or Joe Milton. You can see they're veterans. They're older guys. They've been there. They've done that. I think they're having a good fall camp. I've been impressed with what I've seen from the two veteran quarterbacks so far in fall. And again, limited time period, but a lot more good days, and I think today was a good day for both of those guys.
Any other news or notes?
That'll do it here for today. Tennessee will have an off day tomorrow. We'll be back on the practice field Friday morning. Josh Heupel will meet with the media after practice on Friday. And then there'll be a couple off days this weekend in terms of media availabilities before we can get back over there on Monday. But plenty of coverage again, 991thesportsanimal.com. Go and check it out. And, of course, today and every day, this UT Football Practice Report is brought to you by Pools by Heritage. Now is a great time to get your new pool started where you can beat the rush from design to construction to maintenance. One call can do it all. Call Pools by Heritage at 947-7527 for Pools by Heritage.
Eric, always appreciate it. Thank you very much. Have a fantastic night, a great show in the morning, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. And that's Eric Kane with a Tennessee Football Practice Report.
LeBron James signing a two-year extension with the Lakers for about $97 million. He's got the player option for a third year. So it looks like LeBron will be with the Lakers for a while. Also, the Corn Ferry Tour Knoxville Open will be at Holston Hills Country Club again next year. It'll be the third year in a row that Holston Hills has hosted this event, May the 22nd through the 28th. Those are the dates for the tournament, so we look forward to seeing that. And then, John, ESPN has Josh Heupel in the fast starts category. These are considering coaches with 4 years or less as a head coach, but they like the start that Heupel's gotten off to.
Yeah, and you look at what he's been able to do, and this is for, as you mentioned, coaches that have been a head coach four or fewer years, and I think it is just a tip of the cap to what he's been able to do in his time at Tennessee and Central Florida, and I do think that he belongs on that list. They've got Dave Aranda as number one, Billy Napier, who took over at Florida, number two, Jamie Chadwell over at Coastal Carolina, number three, and then Mel Tucker at Michigan State, number four. But I do think that, you know, last year there really were a lot of pieces that had to be put back together at Tennessee, but I thought it was a really good mix of the players that stayed, the new coaches that came in, and Josh Heupel leading the way. I just thought they did such a good job of working together to help those players, the seniors, to leave here with a better taste in their mouth in terms of how they represented not only the University of Tennessee, but themselves in playing football, because the 2020 was such a disaster. And that's why last year isn't obviously what Tennessee looks for in terms of Tennessee has greater expectations in terms of its performance of the football program, but I thought it was significant what they did accomplish last year.
I did too. And with the depleted roster, we've talked about there were over 40 players that could have been on that team last year that weren't, whether it was transfer portal, whether it was two players that retired, whether it was the four players that Tennessee let out of their national letter of intent. That's a lot of attrition, and nobody knew how good Cedric Tillman was because the previous staff got nothing out of him, and nobody knew how good Hendon Hooker would be, and nobody knew how good some of these other players would be, Valus Jones among them. So I give the staff a whole lot of credit for maximizing what they had and making it fun again for these players. I thought you could tell they enjoyed going to practice, they enjoyed playing on Saturday. They enjoyed the game, and that's a big part of it nowadays.
I believe so, and I thought that all did such a good job of just working in the same direction.
Let's hear now from Josh Malone. VFL was a star receiver for Tennessee when Josh Dobbs was here, had a really nice final year in particular, but our Vince Ferrara had a chance to catch up with Josh Malone, who is with the Tennessee Titans. Here's that conversation.
So how are you, Josh?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Man, we're great. Excited that our listeners, Tennessee fans, can hear from you, and so much pride in the players that run through the University of Tennessee. And it's got to be special for you not only to be in your home state, but be in your backyard wearing that Titans uniform. What's that like for you right now, being down the road from your home area of Gallatin?
No, it's exciting just to be back home and be around family. That's always a blessing just to be able to see family every day. But it's also just an honor just to have the Tennessee across my chest again and just to represent the state.
So I know during camp it's probably difficult, but did that allow you after you signed with the Titans to be able to get some home cooking and spend some time with the family?
Yes, sir. It was good just being back home, getting the home cook, getting to see all the relatives, and just enjoying the time that you usually lose being away, being in different cities and OTAs or training camp and stuff like that.
So what's the home cooking go-to, like something that's number one on your request list that the family knows?
So anytime I'm with my grandma always cooks this little special corn for me. I always like to do like catfish, you know, big family barbecues, ribs, all the soul food. So I keep it pretty original.
Nice. We're visiting with VFL Josh Malone, played at the University of Tennessee 2014 to 2016, 39 games in a Tennessee uniform with 31 starts, 104 receptions, 1,608 yards, 14 touchdowns over those three seasons. Tremendous. Before we talk about your time with the Titans, reflecting back on your time at the University of Tennessee, how would you describe your time on Rocky Top, Josh?
I'll describe it as a real good time. It was definitely, you know, a lot of change. You know, we was trying to build something special, or just basically rebuild something special back, and basically bring, like, the momentum back with Tennessee football. And I enjoyed my time up there at Tennessee, made lifelong relationships. It was just, you know, a blessing just to represent the state.
You mentioned relationships. There's a number of your teammates that are in the National Football League and have been. How much are you able to stay in contact with some of those guys in the league right now?
We try to do a pretty good job of like staying in touch with each other and check in with each other, because we all different cities, different places, all doing different things. We always try to reach out every once in a while, just, you know, catch up, see how life's going and stuff like that. So we do a pretty good job staying in touch with each other.
When's the last time you were in Knoxville?
Probably one time over the summer or in the spring. I usually make little quiet trips up there at least a couple times a year.
What do you think of Josh Heupel and this Tennessee football team and what you saw from them in year one?
I was excited a bit about year one. It was playing good football, especially with all the resources they have. And I think Coach is a great addition to the program. And I believe in what he's building up there. And I think it's going to be special, especially with the offense being as explosive as it is. So I'm really excited to see how year one carries over to year two.
It sounds like they have an open door policy with Josh Heupel and this coaching staff. Is that something that you hope to be able to take advantage of, to go see them practice and just be around the facility when you can?
Oh, most definitely. You know, I've talked to Coach personally, and it is an open-door policy. He wants all the alumni to come back as much as possible whenever they can, use the facilities, build the relationships, and just be around on campus. So definitely when it's time and we get time to, like, get away and stuff like that, I do plan on, like, using the open-door policy, going up there, visiting, getting around the guys and stuff like that, and just, you know, continue to help build the culture.
Do you have any sort of relationship or communication with Cedric Tillman, who had such a breakout 1,000-yard receiving year last year for Tennessee?
Just a little bit. You know, I don't really try to over-communicate with guys. Like, if they want to reach out, ask questions, I always have my door open, my phone available to them. If they ever want to hit me up, ask questions, you know, and talk. But, you know, I let them do their thing. You know, respect their space, and I'm here if they need me.
We're visiting with VFL Josh Malone. He's with the Tennessee Titans as the Titans opened up preseason this past weekend at Baltimore. How would you describe how camp has gone for you personally in trying to make this Titans team?
I feel like I've been having a pretty good camp. I just try to focus on the day-to-day and just try to do something every day to show I can help the team in any way every day. And just take it day by day. You never know in this business. So I just try to stay focused, be assignment sound, and put the best foot forward.
How big is special teams going to be for you to make this Titans team?
I think it's going to be big. Special teams is a big phase. It's a very big phase. I feel like in the role that I'm going to have to define for myself just to make the team, it's going to have to be a key special teams contributor, and just got to do my role and do my job.
In game one, you didn't have a ton of opportunities. You didn't have a catch, had one target, 16 snaps. Was that kind of the plan going in, because there's a lot of bodies in that game? What'd you think about how game one went for you personally?
I just try to control what I can control. And I just went out there, put my best foot forward. I felt like I took advantage of my reps, handled my assignment. Just try to control what I can control. And whenever I get in there, that's another opportunity, just, you know, prove myself. So
what do you think of the wide receiver room there with the Titans?
I feel like we're a good room. We're getting better every single day. It's a hard-working group, and it's competitive. You know, we always pushing each other to get better. So it's a good room. It's a young room. We got a good vet leadership with Robert Woods. But, you know, we're working on building a culture or chemistry, connections, and just making sure everything's firing. So it's going to be good. It's a good room. It's good and competitive, and, you know, look forward to working with them guys every day.
Talking to Josh Malone, wide receiver of the Tennessee Titans VFL here on 99.1 The Sports Animal. I'm Vince Ferrara. Where are some specific areas of your game that you feel like you've improved in since you entered the league, being a fourth round draft pick of the Cincinnati Bengals back in 2017?
Overall, I felt like slowly but surely, I just continued to work on like my route game, getting in and out of breaks, pad level. There's just so many things you can continue to improve on. And I'm one, a big believer that you can continue to improve on everything and continue to work on something every day. So I probably came a long way from the releases to route running, being strong in the catch point. It's just a lot of different things that comes with playing the game on this level. And I just try to just continue to pick something and work at it every day.
Blocking probably when 22 gets loose in the second and third level, right?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's definitely a big run offense. So that's definitely a major, something very important to our room because we have to help him get loose on the outside.
Just how big is that guy in person as a running back? I mean, like, is that hard for you guys to register? Because I think it still is for a lot of fans and media that a human being that big can run like he does.
Oh, no, he's definitely a massive human being. But, you know, he's been shown what he can do. With the ball in his hand, so it's no surprise. You know, we just want to be in position just so he can keep showcasing his talent and keep being the explosive player that he is.
What's head coach Mike Vrabel like?
He's definitely a big players coach. You know, he just want guys to come out and work hard, and he got your back at the end of the day. He's always bringing the energy to practice, always talking, chirping. He likes to back and forth with the trash talk, so he's a big players coach.
So does that mean you give it back to him when he's talking trash?
Every once in a while, if he come my way and want to talk, so
like how's Mike Vrabel trash talking Josh Malone from the Mid-State trying to make the Tennessee Titans? What's he saying to you?
He's just, you know, like talking about, you know, if you're gonna get open, like if you're gonna make some plays today, it just be stuff like that, you know. So most of the time, I'll be going in one ear and out the other because I'll just be focused on what I gotta do for the day.
You know, there's a couple of VFLs on that team, Morgan Cox, Theo Jackson, a draft pick of the Titans this past year, who got the start in that Baltimore game. Talk about your experience in going up against another Tennessee volunteer, Theo Jackson, when you have in those team settings.
I know, it's been fun. Me and Theo go way back. And so it's kind of like one of those full circle things that we just ran back each other in the situation. You know, I just try to, you know, help him like adjust to the learning curve of coming from college to being in the NFL. So, you know, I just try to be another support for him coming in as a young rookie.
Mid-State guy, too. That's where your relationship started and then continuing to Tennessee, right?
Yes.
Now been with five different teams, mentioned being drafted by the Bengals, Jets, Broncos, Packers, and now with the Titans. Is any big differences with any of those franchises and maybe how they operate and how they communicate to you?
Personally speaking, each franchise all got its own identity, its own structure, how they do things and stuff like that. So like the big thing, like coming into like different places is just figure out how they do things. And then you got to like get into the flow and then like basically like find your little niche and be good at it. Each place is like completely different from like other places, because like Green Bay, it's like literally Green Bay, it's not much to do in like Green Bay but focus and play football. So it's just like each place has its own dynamic. So it's just like kind of like one of those things you kind of got to just experience like yourself so you can like see it and figure it out. It's kind of like hard to talk about.
So when you get an opportunity, I'm sure it's going through your agent, but what's that like when you find out that you have an opportunity with another team when you are a free agent?
Well, it's exciting. You know, the process is a process at the end of the day. But when you still got teams calling and interested and you're going for workouts, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. Never do. But, you know, you just want to go out there and put your best foot forward. And that's what you got to live with at the end of the day.
Visiting with VFL, Josh Malone, last couple things with you, Josh. Now as a professional athlete, how do you view the name, image, and likeness world that college athletes have access to right now?
I'll say it's a very huge blessing for them. It's been a long time coming. Right now, it's kind of like the Wild Wild West. But, you know, it's an opportunity that a lot of guys like that came before me and that happened after me. It's an opportunity for young kids to actually take advantage of their image and profit from it. So I'm never was against that. Like, I'm happy for them to get the opportunity to be able to build some type of financial stability for themselves.
But I guess it's kind of natural for you to think what you could have done had that been in place when you were there, right?
Oh yes, of course. Like I can obviously think about it, but it's not my time and it's not my era. And probably the things that we experienced in my era and my age that came through probably opened up the door for the discussion for kids these days to get paid. Like I said, it comes from people before us, before my time of playing ball, that this opportunity has been created for them. So hopefully they're taking advantage of it and being smart with the blessing that they got.
Well, that's a smart, healthy way to look at it as well. One last thing with you, Josh. I appreciate your time. Going back to Theo Jackson, do you have any battles with Theo Jackson that you can share for Tennessee fans?
Like, me and Theo be battling in practice. You know, I get him a couple of times in practice. He'll get me every once in a while. It's a very healthy and competitive practice environment. Nothing too spectacular. I know how Theo is, so...
How good do you think he's going to be?
I always believed Theo's always going to be good. I felt like he showed that at Tennessee, especially this last year with all he was doing. And so I think Theo's going to be fine. I think as long as he stays the path and continues to put his head down on work, I think he should have a pretty good career.
Well, you're certainly doing that and got another opportunity. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers in town, Nissan Stadium this coming weekend. That'll be your first time playing in Nissan Stadium in any uniform?
I played there once when I was with Cincinnati. Okay. And I think that's probably the last time I really played in the stadium. So,
okay. Hey, have a great game. Wish you the best in camp. Awesome for Tennessee fans to be able to hear from you. Stay healthy, ball out. Maybe we'll catch up with you down the road. Thanks so much, Josh.
Sure. Thank you.
That's VFL Josh Malone now with the Titans. Our Vince Farrar with the interview.
I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams.
Quick note, Patrick Reed has sued the Golf Channel and Brandon Chablis for defamation, $750 million. Obviously, Reed thinks that Chablis is the Prince of Saudi Arabia to try to get $750 million out of him. But Reed said that the Golf Channel and Chablis have been criticizing him for years, which has caused fans to deride him and boo him, and it's made it difficult for him to do his job. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, actual malice is what he believes he can prove, that he's just been out to get him, an axe to grind.
There's no way. Forget that. Go hit another ball in the sand trap, Patrick Reed. You're done.
That's going to do it for today's edition of Sports Talk.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.